Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inside the Birds postgame show. My name is Adam Kaplan. My broadcast partner, Jeff Mosher, will be back with me real soon. Well, folks, it's the postmortem. It's the Eagles' loss at home. I did pick the Eagles to lose when we gave our game picks. I picked them to lose 24-20. Let me give you my opening thoughts here. This was a game where, despite how poorly they played on offense, they still could have won the game. Seattle was given chance after chance after chance. Russell Wilson was very inconsistent, but the Eagles could not take advantage of getting the ball back and turned it over way too much. Obviously, five times is not going to get it done. When you lose the turnover battle, folks, you lose at least 75% of the time. Five turnovers, just not acceptable. When Jeff and I did our show last Friday, we really did think that they would run the ball as their foundation, but that's not what happened. And I don't know if you picked it up, but when Jaron Reed, the star defensive tackle, left the game and didn't return, it seemed logical that they would come in, stick with the run, shorten the game, but that's not what happened. Usually coaches will coach the personnel that they have. And then the Brandon Brooks left early, didn't return. The other story, which probably is under discussed, but Andre Dillard was benched at halftime. They went with Big V at right tackle. At right tackle. And it just didn't work. It was tough to watch this offense. And I know everybody wants to talk about Carson Wentz. We'll get to him in a second. It really starts with him, obviously, on the offense. But despite all of their issues, this is a game that they could have won and they didn't win it. I mean, it's as simple as that. They had a chance and they were unable to get the job done. And when you're given a chance by the other team, you need to take advantage of them. Boy, they did not take advantage of anything today. You know, Wentz's numbers, we'll get started offense right now. The defense we'll get to last because they were terrific today for the most part. But look, Wentz's numbers, 33 for 45 for 256 and a touchdown. If you didn't watch the game, you would probably say, oh, well, he played well. No, he didn't play well. The big issue in this game, as I charted it, watching from the press box, folks, you really can't see at home what we were able to see. There were at least three instances in the first three quarters, which you probably saw at least on the replay, where Miles Sanders was wide open in the flat. One probably would have been for a touchdown in the first half, and he didn't throw the ball to him. One, he stared at him, and he didn't throw it to him. Another play in the flat. I don't know what happened with Wednesday. Obviously, he didn't play well. Let's not sugarcoat it. They had a lot of issues. And I would be remiss by not mentioning Brooks leaves the game. Okay. Lane Johnson's not there. But you can't cover up. When the throws are there to be made, you need to make them number one. And you need to throw with accuracy. He didn't do that today. And you can't do that. And you could blame coaches all you want. But when they dial it up for them, for the player to throw the ball accurately, you got to make it. And he did not do that today. I don't know what it is with Carson, but he's rushing himself a little bit. There were some very easy throws that he normally would always hit, and he didn't today. And I can't get into his head. We could say he's pressing. Yeah, he's pressing. He's probably trying to do too much because they're down in personnel. I think it's in his head a little bit. This is just me covering the league for 20 years, talking to quarterbacks. Talking to coaches, when quarterbacks struggle sometimes, who are generally very, very good and very talented, and sort of superstar quarterbacks when they struggle, like Wentz, it's generally because of footwork, which part of it, stepping in the throw, that's part of it, pass protection, that's part of it. Yes, a lot of throws today were constricted, the pocket was condensed, but again, to sum it up with Wentz, make the throws that are there for you to make, you got to do that. And unfortunately, he didn't have that happen. Now, a couple other stories to this game before we move on to other parts of this offense. The x-rays on Carson Wentz's right hand were negative. It's going to go through further evaluation testing tomorrow. So without really knowing what other testing is going to be done, we don't know exactly what happened. He left the field. He went to the locker room. He had x-rays taken. They were negative. He came back. He was throwing more than we would normally see him throw in between series. And sometimes when there was a TV timeout in between plays, just to get comfortable. So that certainly was a concern. Now, here's some other observations we were able to see. Because when you're in the press box, you could see formations. You could see players in the route running. Ertz certainly got open. And Ertz was going to get the football, especially when they were behind. Dallas Goedert was active. But, man, he had the awful fumble. That was a really beautifully designed play. And it took advantage of his size. I will say this, just based on being in the press box. It looked like he was asked to block a lot, especially after Brooks left the game and didn't return. And then with Dillard being benched, and I get it, that's a smart thing. And they were obviously using a lot of 12 personnel today because they only dressed four receivers who had a grand total of 14 receptions coming into the game. The positive on offense, and there weren't many, was Greg Ward. Now, it wasn't like he caught the ball downfield. We know what he is. He's a possession receiver. He played some in the slot. But here's the point what I'm making with Greg Ward. He actually caught the ball. He didn't drop it. That's actually a positive step with this receiver core. There's really no reason to cut the guy because, remember, he's taking the place of a player who's put on injured reserve in Rudy Ford. So I don't see why they would cut him. It would make no sense to me because then you have to waive him. And if you don't, if someone else could claim him, because he's on the active roster, if they would release him. So to me, it just makes sense to keep him now on the roster. The run game at times is very, very effective. That's why I said earlier here, I don't know why they didn't stick with the run game. And folks, you know me. Those of you who have been listening to me every week with Jeff, I'm the one who says, throw the ball, keep throwing the football, because that's really what analytics tell you, and I'm a big analytics guy. But when it's working and your quarterback is not accurate, to me, I think you ought to run the ball a bit more. That would be my only complaint with Doug Peterson. There are plays to be made, folks. I'll talk to the people who are going to grade the tape tomorrow. I have access to people who do that around the National Football League, especially people who do advanced work. The reason why I ask people to do advanced work from other teams, because I get an objective view. I want unvarnished, tell me what you saw because you don't work for the Eagles. I want it. Give me the inside skinny, and that's what I'm going to do, like I've always done for you guys, and that's our job with Jeff and I. We're going to bring it to you. Again, Dallas Goedert's got to show up. Jordan Matthews, look, he's a possession receiver. I know fans love the guy. I mean, when we were reporting that they were going to bring back Jordan Matthews, people were out of their minds being excited. Folks, all these receivers are number fives. Arthego Whiteside had a beautiful catch downfield, as we know, for 30 yards, but he's a very limited player right now. He's a guy who needs a full offseason with the coaches when they could get him in the middle of April. He needs to get stronger physically. Yeah, he's 6'2", but he's just got to be coached up harder, and he will be a much bigger factor next season. He is what he is at this point of his career, so they're just not able to get much out of the passing game. It's unfortunate. But to sum up, Wentz has got to get rid of the football quicker. He's got to be more decisive, and he's got to throw with better accuracy. His accuracy is off. Don't let the numbers fool you, folks. He did not play well today. Let's not sugarcoat it. I saw the comments on Twitter. We'll get to our last segment. We'll get to it, folks. The SC Insider segment. I've seen them all. I've read all 15 questions. I get it, folks. You're upset. You have a right to be. I'll never tell anyone how to feel. You're a fan. You get to feel any way you want, and we'll answer those questions. But the offense has got to pick it up. Now, interesting comment that Brandon Graham made heading into the locker room. I happen to be outside the locker room in the hallway. And Brandon looks to Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly. He said, hey, there are 5 games left and we're good. Well, yeah, 4 out of 5 of them are against bad football teams. And then Dallas, of course, week 16, if that game's going to mean anything. But Dallas is having their issues today. But let's get to the defense, because I'll tell you what, that's 4 straight games that the Eagles have not given up more than 17 points. Their defense, for the most part, today was terrific. They got pressure, really a ton of pressure on Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson and the Seahawks game plan is very obvious. It's with their run game, yes. But they were going to take some shots downfield, and they were going to target 31 Jalen Mills. It was very obvious to me. And he had a holding penalty. They were going after him. Some plays that Mills made, some plays he didn't. But they were going to take their shot plays with Metcalf, who just nearly scored a touchdown. He just couldn't get to it. Wilson missed Jacob Hollister for a clear touchdown, who's number, I think, 48, the tight end who's filling in for Will Disley. He had him wide open, absolutely wide open, in the corner of the right end zone. It's actually where I sit in the press box. And I was like, oh, boy, here's the touchdown, but he overthrew him. I don't know how. Folks at home could see that on the replay. Great call by Brian Schottenheimer on the flea flicker for the Malik Turner touchdown. Look, these trick plays, they got the Eagles against the Patriots with Julian Edelman throwing the touchdown. That's a great play call. But overall, Eagle fans have to be very happy with Jim Schwartz and the game plan he's put together. You can't get on Schwartz anymore. He's doing a great job. Now, yes, the penny touchdown was inexcusable right up the middle. If you want to get on the defensive back for not making the play, folks, talking to the Seahawks, Rashad Penny's 240 pounds. He runs in the 4.4s, believe it or not. He was a first-round pick. So if you, the defender really bounced right off of him. But, you know, overall, they did a good job on Chris Carson, who's a terrific young back. And they stopped Tyler Lockett. Lockett only had two targets. And then the 38-yard play down the field, which was a beautiful throw, man. Russell Wilson had some great throws today. He also had some throws that were way off. They held him to only 200 yards. That's a win for their defense. And he also threw an interception. That was a great play by their defense. You got to feel real good about their defense right now for the rest of the season. Now, let's talk about injuries before we move on to the next segment, the Ask the Insiders. Nelson Agholor doesn't play, okay, with his knee injury, which is believed to be minor. And you see Alshon Jeffrey with that lingering ankle injury. Remember, folks, he injured the ankle before the bye. He comes back, he's not ready. He works in a limited fashion this week. He wasn't ready. Doug Peterson confirmed it after the game. He just wasn't ready to go. I mean, at this point, folks, and I've mentioned it before, I don't know why they're not working out J.J. Nelson. I know the other team, the eight other teams that worked them out haven't signed him, but at least work the guy out because he could flat out run. But the Raiders clearly didn't want him, and they cut him. But he is the one speed receiver who's out there. So for the people asking me about it, yeah, I don't know why they have not worked him out. I checked into it. They have not worked him out really since the Raiders cut him. But, you know, overall, my summary of this game would be very simply this. They're in a position with their schedule at the Dolphins next week, who are a bad football team, at the Redskins, playing the Giants twice. I mean, these are big-time winnable games. Obviously, they shouldn't lose those games. I had them losing both of these two tough home games and then winning four out of their five. Now, can they beat Dallas? Dallas has got a lot of firepower. They do underachieve. Dallas should be so much better than they are, especially defensively, a little bit passive defensively. But the bottom line is this. When you look at the Eagles, they still have a shot to win the division. They really do. They shouldn't, but they do because of their schedule. Would have been nice for Eagle fans if they could have stolen one of these games, but it didn't happen. All right, let's go to our final segment here, and that's Ask ITB, Ask the Insiders, folks. And I'll tell you what, I see a lot of these questions, and I get it. You're pissed off, and again, you have a right to be. You're frustrated. You have a right to be. I don't know how much better or worse it's going to get for the Eagles, but they're bailed out by a very, very favorable schedule. So let's get to those Ask ITB questions. Remember, that's hashtag on Twitter, Ask ITB. So when I look at these questions, you know, who to blame? What one person asked, who to blame? You know, other than running the football more, which, you know, is kind of dubious, it's really a judgment call. I think part of it, and Nick Atkins asks us, how do you coach when staring down the first read and predetermine where he's going with the football? Nick, how long have I been saying it on our show? He's been staring down and predetermined where he's going with the football. You're absolutely right. Good question. And people from other teams have told me this because they seem to see it. Now, Nick, how do you coach it, or how do you coach it out of him? You show him the tape, Nick, when he comes in on Monday and Tuesday, and that's what you do. And that's all you can do, and you hope he breaks out of it. And it history shows Carson will do that, but he's not doing it right now. At KJ Brophy on Twitter, Kenny Brophy. I've seen Kenny's questions before, so Kenny, I'll answer this for you. Will the offense and defense ever be able to have the good games at the same time? It's funny. I turned to someone in the press box. I said, "Man, if they could ever get the same both sides of the football to play well in the same game." It's a great question, Kenny. I just don't know with this receiver core and Carson not playing good football right now. I think it's in his head right now. I think he needs to get out of his own way. So that's kind of where I go with that. Zach T asks, at ZJT85, Zach T asked me, is there any reason to be hopeful? Looks like a 9-17 at best. Yes, Zach, just like I said, with the schedule coming up, they absolutely will win four out of five. But will they win that game week 16 against Dallas? Let's get there first. But the schedule is very, very favorable. The Cowboys schedule is way harder. It's way harder. All right. At K_Williams856 asks, where does the offense go from here? Great question. Coaching changes, player cuts. Who are you going to cut? I mean, you can't cut. You're not going to make any coaching changes. I just think they got to settle Carson down. That's the first thing. Carson's got to get out of his own way. And then, look, the schedule's favorable. It's going to get a lot easier with their schedule. The matchups are going to be way better. But you got to get Alshon Jeffrey back, and you got to get Aguilar back just as a passing target who could run a little bit. They got to get Miles Sanders the ball way more in the screen game. And they got to get him back to getting open downfield. They did not happen. Didn't happen. Next question. At J_Rich on Twitter, can we expect Greg Ward to be on the roster moving forward? As I answered earlier, yes, absolutely. Absolutely has to do that. Now, Zach T asked before the game, do you think will be the X factor? I said on Twitter, and you guys can come at me on, I thought Goddard would be. Now, his numbers look way better than he played. He had the fumble. He didn't get active until late in the game. Now, I know they had him in blocking a lot. They just didn't get him the ball enough. I don't know why he's not getting the ball more. Jeff and I thought, and everyone in the Philadelphia media thought, and I think they thought internally that he would get the ball more. Once he got over the calf strain, which unfortunately was a bad one, as we know, he suffered it, as I first reported on our show, actually in late July. And then it lingered. They thought it went away, and then he re-injured, as you guys know, prior to the Atlanta game. And it took him a while to get it right, and he's just not right. I don't know what it is. Isn't it amazing? And it is funny how the defense has completely righted itself. The defense, quite frankly, folks, is playing as probably well as it's going to. The corners are playing much better. They don't have a type. They have a bunch of number two and three corners. You know what? You could win in the National Football League like that when your pass rush gets there. And, folks, their pass rush got there today. I do want to mention a couple guys on defense. Brandon Graham is just terrific. His energy and his passion for the game is just terrific. Several big plays by him today. He did a great job. I mean, folks, they're getting off the ball. And that wide nine is working today, man. I thought they were terrific today. Malcolm Jenkins playing in the box. Folks, he had four pressures on the quarterback today. Can you believe that? And they got six sacks on Russell Wilson. You got to be proud of this defense. Jenkins played great today. And you know what's crazy? Did you see Najee Bradham in his ankle? Obviously, is pretty good. He had one tackle for a loss. He actually tracked the ball down the middle of the field. That was absolutely hard to believe. Nate Gary was over the ball today. He had two quarterback hurries today. He did a good job. Graham was all over today. Not only did he have a sack and a half. See, the thing is, it doesn't show up in the statistics, the impact that he has when he plays inside. Look, the Seattle Seahawks offensive line is well below average, and the Eagles took advantage of those matchups. I give Jim Schwartz and his defensive coaches, I give them credit to that. They had a great game plan, and they executed for the most part. Now, Jalen Mills had some issues today where they were going to go after him because he didn't run well enough. He's a smart, tough player. He's got to get his hands on the receiver. But as you saw today, when he gets beat, it's because he just doesn't run well enough. But overall, they did a good job. I mean, they really hung in there. And overall, when you hold Russell Wilson to 200 yards, and plus he did not make a big plays with his feet, a lot of big plays with his feet, because you know, Eagle fans, overall, Russell Wilson has destroyed this football team in the past. The game 2 years ago, the game before Wentz tore his ACL in Seattle, he got them there. He's got them here. He's just done a great job against them, but I got to give Schwartz credit today. They executed. I don't know what more you could ask out of their defense. It's unfortunate that their offense is not picking it up, but you know what? It is what it is. You kind of have to live with it. The hope is that Jeffrey will return for next week's game on grass in Miami, having some time off of that injured ankle. And then hopefully Aguilar will return. They should be able to win it that game without them because the Dolphins, folks, the Dolphins, I'll give you a little bit of a scouting report. The Dolphins are without two of their starting safety who are on IR. Two out of the three top corners are on injured reserve. They should walk home if they lose that game in Miami. I'm telling you, that would be the biggest embarrassment of Doug Peterson's career here in Philly if they lost that game because Miami is – they're doing their best with what they have. Remember, Eric Rowe, he's on that team. He's actually starting at corner, but they're a very bad football team. The Eagles really should be able to win that game. But overall, folks, the defense will keep in the game, and that's why they actually had a chance to win. But they got to get Carson Wentz back on track, and you just got to answer your questions, folks, on Twitter. I'm seeing a lot of them. He just got to get out of his own way and take what's there. You know, you can't blame the coaches for his inaccuracy sometimes. You just got to get rid of the ball, get the footwork going, get some. He's got to get his confidence back. That's the other thing I failed to mention. Quarterback is all about confidence. He's not just playing like a confident football player. So he's just got to do better. All right, special thanks to our good friend Hunter Brody from 973 ESPN in South Jersey. We thank him for helping produce these shows recently. He's doing a great job for us. Check him out on Twitter. He's a big-time Philadelphia sports fan. On Twitter, at Brodes81, B-R-O-D-E-S-81. Follow him on Twitter. And check out his awesome YouTube page, Sports Talk with Brodes. As a matter of fact, some of his stuff got picked up off of Twitter on Crossing Broads. A great job, my man, Hunter. I read that this week. Good job out of him. And special thanks, obviously, to 973 ESPN South Jersey for being one of our affiliates. We really appreciate their help. And you can hear me with Jeff Mosher and Mike Gill every Wednesday at 3 p.m. I'm on for about 10, 15 minutes. I'll give you the inside skin of what's going around with it and how the Eagles are being viewed. And then also one of our great affiliates, PHL Sports Nation, covering all Philadelphia sports teams. Follow them on Twitter at PHL Sports Nation. Doing a great job with Sixers. I love reading the Sixers stuff. Flyers, Phillies, Eagles. Check them out again at phlsportsnation.com or on Twitter, PHL Sports Nation. Follow me on Twitter at Kaplan NFL, C-A-P-L-E-N NFL. And also Jeff Mosher at Jeff Mosher NFL on Twitter. Jeff will be back with us real, real soon. So, folks, hang in there. The schedule's good. They still have a decent chance to win. Less than 50-50, they'll win a division. But look at that Dallas Cowboys schedule, and you'll know why I think they could hang in there and still win this division. Going to be very hard, but it starts next week at 1 p.m. Eastern against the Dolphins. I'll be back with everyone this coming week. We're going to have a film breakdown from two personnel sources from other teams. We're going to break down the Eagles tape this week, especially on offense. Till then, it's Adam Kaplan for Inside the Birds.